We're now going to have our reading from God's Word. So if you could, grown-ups, if you want to grab a Bible, but boys and girls, the reading's going to be on the screen behind me. I'm probably going to come down here and read it with you from that direction. So if you need a Bible, grown-ups, please put a hand in the air. There's a steward poised to bring you one. There's a couple over here. There's one in the middle over here, if that's right. We're in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12. And we're going to be reading from verse 15. Boys and girls, it's on the screen. I'm going to come down here and read it with you. So you're going to be looking in the same direction that I'm looking at. Okay, is that all right? Can I sit next to you? Is that okay? Okay. Are we ready to read? I can't see you, so you have to say yes. Good. Thank you. Okay, here's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 to 28. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is a deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of the fool blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality. Well, that's God's word for us today. We're going to stand and sing before Johnny comes and reads to us from another part of the Bible, tells us another story, but we're going to sing of the great truth.
Grown-ups, you will find it helpful to have your Bible open at 1 Samuel 25, which is page 297 in the church Bible. But boys and girls, would you all sit up straight? Come on, I want to see you sitting up straight, okay? I want you to wind up your brains. Come on, you've been on holiday, you need to start thinking again. Wind up your brains, pin back your ears, open your eyes, zip up your mouths, unless I ask you to speak. Is that all right? Because we're going to learn together from the part of the Bible that Nathan read to us, and also from the part of the Bible the adults have got in front of you. Now, can anyone remember what book of the Bible Nathan just said we read from? Does anyone remember what it was called? Yes? Proverbs, that's right. Now, Proverbs is almost bang in the middle of the Bible. And Proverbs is full of short, sharp little sayings that help us to know how God wants us to live in his world. And this morning, I want us to learn a proverb together. Do you think you could learn a whole proverb? A whole verse from the Bible? Here it is. All right, I'm going to put it on the board here. It's very simple. It says this. It says, the way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Do you think you can do that with me? Could you say it with me? Tell you what, we'll say it first, and then we'll do the actions, all right? So we'll say it first. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Let's try again, shall we? So you can keep sitting down to do this, but pretend. It's sort of, the way of a fool, can you do that? Pretend to it. The way of the fool, right, seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. Can you do that all together? Ready? The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. Do you think you can do it without the words on the screen? Right, come on then.
The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice.
Armel, come and do it up here. Everyone do it. That was great. Armel does it far better than me. Come on, Armel. You come and do it, right? Right. Everyone do it with Armel. One, two, three.
The window sill is brighter in it, but the white man is brighter.
Thank you, Armel. You did that very, very well. Excellent. So this verse, as you can see, it talks about two kinds of people. There's the person who's called a fool and the person who's called wise. Now, the person who's called the fool is the person who goes through life thinking, well, I know what to do, and I'll just do what I want to do. So when they're faced with a choice, they just say, I'll do it my way. But the wise man is different. Because the wise man who's someone who, when they face a choice in life, they kind of think, well, I don't know everything I need to know. I need other people to give me advice so that I will do the right thing. Now, the question I have for you this morning is, which of those two people are you most like? Are you like the fool, or are you like the wise man? Can we say the verse again? The way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. And as I tell you this story, it's about two men. And as I tell you about these two men, I want you to be thinking, which of them is the fool and which of them is the wise man? You got that? So would you like to meet these two men? Like to meet them? Here's one of them, all right? Put him over there. And here's the other one, and I'm going to put him right over there. Now, this man you might have heard of before, because this man's name was David. Who's heard of David? You heard of David? He was the man who, with his sling and a stone, killed the big giant Goliath. Do you remember that story? You may not, though, have heard of this man, because this man's name was Nabal. And we're going to learn about these two men. Now, David, look over here. David was the second king of Israel. At the time of this story we're looking at, he wasn't the king yet. Because the first king of Israel, a man called Saul, he hated David. Even though David had killed giant Goliath with God's help, Saul hated David. And that meant that he chased David because he wanted to kill him. So David had to hide in places. He hid there, and then he hid in another place, and he hid in another place. And at the time of our story, he was a long way away from anywhere. He was in a desert in a place called Maon. He wasn't on his own. He had with him 600 men. But David and his 600 men, they were very poor. They lived in the desert. There wasn't any food for them there. They often had hungry tummies and longed for food to eat. But that's where they were. Nabal was very, very different. He didn't live in the desert. He lived in a town. He lived in a place called Carmel. And David and his men, they were poor. What do you think was true about Nabal? What do you think was true of him? If they were poor, what do you think was true of him? Yes?
He was rich.
He was really, really, really rich. And in those days, being rich wasn't necessarily about money. It was about what you had. So we read in the Bible that this man Nabal, he had 1,000 goats. And not only did he have 1,000 goats, he had 3,000 sheep. And to look after his sheep and his goats, well, he had lots and lots and lots and lots of shepherds, and he had lots and lots and lots and lots of servants. And so Nabal was really, really wealthy. But not only was he rich, he also had a very intelligent and very beautiful wife called Abigail. Now, let me tell you what happened. David and his men were in the desert. And as David's men went around in the desert, they often bumped into Nabal's shepherds with their sheep. Now, David's men were rough and tough. They were hungry. So you might have thought, well, what they'd do is they'd steal a few sheep or they'd steal a few goats. But they didn't. David's men protected Nabal's shepherds and his servants and his sheep and his goats. They looked after them in the desert so well that not one of Nabal's sheep or one of Nabal's goats went missing. David's men were really, really kind to Nabal's men and Nabal's possessions. Now, one day, David and his men were in the desert, and their tummies were empty. Think that was nice? No, their tummy, they wanted some food. But they heard some good news. They heard that for Nabal and his men, it was sheep shearing time. Now, sheep end up having wool. You know what wool is? You've seen sheep? And the wool grows on them? And about once a year, shepherds who look after sheep, they will cut all the wool off. And that's how we get jumpers and that kind of thing. So it was the time of the year when Nabal and his shepherds and his servants, they sheared the sheep. They took the wool off the sheep. And that was a really happy time. And when you sheared the sheep, do you know what you had? You had a big feast with loads and loads of food. David and his men, they heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep and they were having lots and lots of food to eat. So David said to his men, he said, go to Nabal. Ask him very, very politely, would you give us some of your food? Because we're hungry. And David said, remind Nabal that when you were near them in the desert and there were the sheep and the goats, that you didn't steal a single one. In fact, you protected them so not one of them was missing. So David's men, they went to Carmel. And they went to Nabal. And they said, Nabal, we've come from David. And David asked, please, if you'd be very kind, would you share some of your food with us? We have looked after you and your men and your sheep and your goats really, really well. Now, what do you think Nabal said? What do you think he said? Any ideas? You're right. He said, no way! He said, who is this David? Who's this person who sent his men to me? He's nobody. Why should I share my food? The food that I have provided for my servants. Why should I share it with this man and his men? And so he sent David's men all the way back to David with nothing. Now, how do you think David felt when his men came and told him what Nabal said? How do you think he felt? Any words? What words would you describe? Yes? Angry. You're right. David wasn't just angry. I think that David probably had steam coming out of his ears. He was so angry. He said, all this time I've been looking after Nabal's sheep and his goats for him, and not one of them's gone missing, and he won't share any food. And he said to his men, put on your swords. And David put on his sword as well. And he said, I know what we're going to do. We're all going to go. Come on, men. We're going to go. We're going to go to Carmel. And we're going to get our own back on Nabal. We're going to kill him and all his men. Back in Carmel, one of Nabal's servants had heard what Nabal had said to David's men. And he went not to Nabal, but he went to Abigail, Nabal's very intelligent and beautiful wife. And he said, Miss Abigail, can I tell you what happened? David sent his men to ask us some food. David has been really kind to us. When we were in the desert, he looked after us. Not one of our sheep or goats has gone missing. He was so good to us. But when his men came and said to Nabal, please have some food, well, the master was really wicked. The master was really horrible. He refused to give them. Oh, Abigail, please would you do something? Because of what the master has done, disaster is hanging over his head and ours as well. Please would you do something? And Abigail listened to the servant. And so Abigail, very quickly, she got her donkey. I haven't got a donkey, but pretend she's on the donkey. And she got together a big pile of stuff. Would you like to see what she got together? You can say it out loud with me. She got 200 loaves of bread. Can you say 200 loaves of bread? 200 loaves of bread. She got two big, now it would have been skins, but these are jars of wine. So two jars of wine. She got five cooked sheep. She got five sears of corn. Now, I haven't a clue what a sear is, but it's a weight of corn, all right? So five sears of corn. She got 100 raisin cakes. And she got 200 fig cakes. I think that's the right way around. I got that the right round. Phew. And what she did was she loaded these on her donkey and she set off towards where David and his men lived. What was David doing? He was making his way towards Carmel. What did he want to do? What was his plan? Do you remember? He was going to kill Nabal and his men. In fact, David was saying, steam was still coming out of his ears, he was saying, I looked after that man so well and he wouldn't give us any food. May God deal with me ever so severely if one of his men is alive today. Abigail was coming up a steep hill, and David and his men were coming down the hill. And when Abigail saw David and his men, do you know what she did? She got off her donkey and she knelt down in front of David and his men. And she got off her donkey. She got the things off her donkey. What was on her donkey? 200 loaves of bread, two jars of wine, five cooked sheep. What's next? Five sears of roasted corn, whatever that is. 100 fig cakes. No, raisin cakes. And 200 fig cakes. And she got them. And she said, David, let me tell you exactly what she said, because it's what the Bible says to her. She got these things out and she said, David, let me take the blame. She said, please listen to what I tell you. Don't pay any attention to Nabal. Please accept these gifts that I bring. David, don't think about killing. God doesn't want you to kill. You can trust God. He will make you king at the right time. He will deal with your enemies. You don't need to. And the Bible says that as David listened to Abigail, he said, you're right. In fact, David said, praise be to the Lord, because he has sent you, Abigail, to stop me from doing the wrong thing. And so David accepted from Abigail. Are you ready? He accepted 200 loaves of bread. He accepted two jars of wine. He accepted five cooked sheep. He accepted five sears of roasted corn, whatever they are. He accepted 100 raisin cakes, and he accepted 200 fig cakes, and he stopped having steam coming out of his ears. And here's his men. They went back to the desert of Maon. And Abigail, she got back on a donkey, and she went back to Carmel. Now, can we say our verse again? Ready for it? Armel, come and do it again. Come on, you're much better than I am. All follow Armel. All right, let's say our brothers again. So 1, 2, 3.
The way of the fool
seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, thank you, Armel. You did a great job. Everyone look here. Think of the story we've just heard from the Bible. Okay? Of the two men that we heard about, who was the fool? Yes? Nabal, that's right, Levi. He was the fool, wasn't he? Why was he the fool? Well, he only did what seemed right to him, didn't he? Who was the wise man? Yes, Abby? Pardon? David, that's right. Why was David the wise man? Well, David was the wise man because he listened to advice. Who gave David advice? Who gave David advice? Yes? Abigail, that's right. Abigail gave him advice, and he listened to that advice. And Abigail's advice came from God. Now, why do we need to learn this? Well, I want you to think for a moment about the world. Who lives in the world? Come on, who lives in the world? Are you sure? Come on, some of you, be certain. The Bible says that the world is full of people who are just like Nabal. In fact, all of us by nature, the Bible says, we are fools. And the reason we are fools is because all of us by nature, we sin. And we often talk about sin, don't we? But what is sin? Well, sin is saying to God, I know what's best, I'm not going to listen to you. You see, Nabal should have been kind and generous to David. Because if we read on in the book of Proverbs, there's another part proverb which actually says that we should be generous to others. That if someone comes to us and says, please will you help me, we should help them. But Nabal, no, he wasn't having any of that. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he wasn't going to do what God wanted him to do. And the Bible says that's what we're all like by nature. And what did the servant say was hanging over Nabal's head? Disaster. And the Bible says that because we all sin, and because by nature we are all fools, disaster is hanging over our heads. And we deserve to be punished by God. You see, have you ever been selfish? Let me give you an example. Have you ever had a really nice bag of your favorite crisps? Or maybe a really nice bag of your favorite sweeties like jelly beans? And then your brother or sister or a friend, they come to you and they say, can I have one of your crisps? Or can I have one of your jelly beans? And have you ever said, no, they're mine? And they say, please, no, they're mine. Have you done that? And grown-ups, we can be like that. It's just perhaps we're a bit more subtle about it. But you see, that even those things are illustrations of us being like Nabal the fool. Because we live saying, I'll do what I want to do rather than listening to God and what he tells us to do. Now, David was no different. What did David want to do when Nabal refused to help him? What did he want to do, Ben? He wanted to kill him, didn't he? He wanted to get what the Bible says, revenge. Have you ever wanted revenge? Shall I tell you what revenge is? Revenge is what happens is when someone kicks you and says, well, I'm going to kick you back. Someone hits you, I'm going to hit you back. Someone says something nasty, I'm going to be nasty back. We are all like that. And David was like that. And that would have been the wrong thing to do as well. But what was different between David and Nabal? What was the difference? What was the difference? According to our verse, what was the difference? What was the difference? Someone tell me. Clara? That's right, he listened. So the difference between Nabal and David was that David listened to Abigail. When Abigail came to David, he listened to her as she told him to turn from doing what was wrong and to trust God, that God would do what was right. And boys and girls, the Bible tells us that we need to be wise like David. And the way we are wise like David is that we listen to those God sends to us who give us God's advice. Can we say the verse again? Come on then, Armel. Come on. Wake them all up. Come on. And remember the words this time. Right, you ready?
The wise man.
But the wise man listens to advice. Well done, Armel. The wonderful thing is that God sends us people like Abigail. God sends us those who tell us what he says in the Bible is right. Now, they may be people like mum and dad. They might be people like treasure hunters or kids' club leaders. They may be other Christian friends, but they give us God's advice. And when we receive God's advice, what should we do? We should listen to it because that's the way we are wise. But of course, most of all, God has sent us the best advice giver there is. God has sent us the Lord Jesus, his son. And the Lord Jesus came into the world, and when he came into the world, his message to everybody was this. It was turn and trust. You may have heard the words of Jesus. When he came to the world, he said, repent and believe the good news. The word repent simply means to turn. To believe means to trust. And you and I, you see, all of us, because we are fools by nature, because we are those who like doing what seems right to us, the Bible says that disaster is hanging over our heads and that we deserve to be punished forever by God because of our sin. But here is the wonderful thing that we learn in the Bible. We learn that the Lord Jesus, God's Son, he came into the world. And when the Lord Jesus lived on earth, do you know what was most wonderful about him? He was never a fool. He never did what was right in his own eyes. No, instead, he listened to God the Father. He always did what God the Father told him to do. And yet, then he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, this is what happened. The disaster that I deserve to fall on me, because I'm a fool and I sin, that disaster fell instead upon the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that if I listen to the Lord Jesus, and if I turn from going my own way, and instead turn and trust the Lord Jesus, then I will be safe forever. I will be someone who doesn't have to look forward to disaster falling on my head, but instead can look forward to being with God forever. In the place he calls his new creation. Now, I have to tell you that if we turn and trust the Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean that we always get things right. It means sometimes we can act just like Nabal the fool. We can still be selfish. We still want to get revenge. But you see, a real Christian is someone who day by day turns and trusts the Lord Jesus. A real Christian is someone who day by day says, the way I naturally live is I'm like a fool. But what I need to do to be wise is to listen to God's advice, to listen to what God says in the Bible. What did we sing earlier? We sang can you do it with me? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. It's saying exactly the same as our verse. It's a very serious story that the Lord Jesus told, because the Lord Jesus says the wise person is the person who listens to Jesus and does what he tells them to do. But the foolish person is the person who listens to Jesus but then doesn't do what he tells them to do. What did David do? He listened to Abigail and recognized she was God's messenger to him, giving him the advice he needed, and he turned and he trusted. He didn't do the wrong thing. And you and I, as we go through life, what do we need? We need to listen to the messengers God sends us. And as we listen to them, we need to do what they tell us. We need to turn away from what's wrong, and we need to trust what God says is right. Can we say our verse again? Armel, you're doing a great job. You're much better at this than me. Do you know it yet? Okay. Right, Armel's going to do it on his own first, right? Ready? Okay.
The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice.
Sorry. You can do the actions now.
Okay. The wonderful seems right to him, but the wise men listen to advice.
Right, all do it now. Everyone do it now? The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. Thank you, Armel. Boys and girls, very seriously. Are you listening to the advice of the Lord Jesus? That's another way of saying, are you a real Christian? You're not a Christian because you come to church. You're not a Christian because mum or dad is a Christian. You're only a Christian if personally you have turned, as you've listened to Jesus, from what is wrong, and you've trusted him as the Savior who died on the cross to take the disaster that you deserve. And if you're not yet a Christian, you could become a Christian even this morning. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to say a little prayer. And you might want to say it quietly in your heart to God as I say this. But let's bow our heads and let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus Christ, I know I am a sinner. Like Nabal, I've been a fool, ignoring your advice. I'm sorry for my sins. I turn from them now. I trust you as the Savior who died on the cross for me. Please teach me what it means to live as a wise boy or girl, man or woman, listening to what you tell me and not as a fool. Please hear my prayer for your name's sake. Amen.